are.
When it comes to politics, I'm well past the tinfoil hat stage. I need a good helmet for the banging my head against the wall stage. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
I just get the chills when I hear all of that, don't you? Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad to have you on a Friday, no less. Happy to be here. And of course, great show ahead, can I just say. I have the great Alex Newman. And then the following hour, I have Joel Skousen. So we're going to get a whole lot of issues and a whole lot of, I think, just exposing of these issues, I think, is the most important thing, which I absolutely love to do. And so I welcome you. Go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts. And share those far and wide, please. We need to get more shared out there. We need to hit your circle, get it anywhere you can. If you're ever on a blog and they're talking about things, or you're ever in a comment section on an article, put out the link, katedalyradio.com, so they can go there and get SoundCloud, so they can get educated. We got to spread the word. And you can email me, Kate, at katedalyradio.com. On Twitter, it's Kate on the Blaze. And on Facebook, it is The Kate Daly Show. And I share a lot on those pages. I also have the great Alex Newman with me to talk about all kinds of issues. We're going to be hitting really hard. There's a climate commission. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a whistleblower and what this whistleblower finally came out and talked about that is huge. This is brand new and it's big. And also, we're going to talk about guns. We're going to talk about gun control, bump stocks going through. We're going to be talking about a host of those things too. So, man, we got to get busy. Alex Newman, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kate, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for all that you do.
It is always a pleasure to have you, Alex, and you're so sharp. I love it. I'm so glad that you are out there investigating. In fact, where can people find you before we get started? I want people to be able to find you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kate. Mm-hmm. And most of my articles go up at thenewamerican.com. Mm-hmm. I also publish the Newman Report at freedomproject.com. That's okay. Freedom Project Media. And then I have my own kind of personal website blog. It's at libertysentinel.org.
Perfect. Okay, well, thank you. I want to talk about the proposed climate commission. The proposed climate commission. Tell us about this. What are your thoughts on this? I can't even believe I can't believe this conversation, because the whole climate nonsense. And I've had people say, I really like Kate, but she doesn't agree with climate change. And I'm going, how can you? There's no proof. But go ahead and tell us about the climate commission.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kate. And so this is huge. This is an incredibly important story. If you've heard about it at all from the mainstream media, you've only heard that Trump is a dummy and Trump is a traitor and Trump wants to destroy the climate and Trump is wasting our money. But what has been proposed here, and we know from my documents that came out, the White House is working on a plan to create a presidential commission on climate security that would basically re-examine the science on climate change and advise the president. And the reason that the other side is freaking out is because they know the tables have turned, right? Mm-hmm. It used to be that their activists in the federal government would put out a climate report and they'd say, what are you, denying the science? See, this activist pretending to be a scientist in the federal government said it's real, so you must believe. And now the tables are turned, right? Mm-hmm. This commission, the guy who would head it up is Dr. William Happer. I know Dr. William Happer. He and I both spoke together at a climate conference a few years ago in Arizona. Great, great guy. If you want to hear him talk, you can go to YouTube. You can see the interview I did with him.
I played his clip on the air. The one that you did.
Awesome.
Yeah, the one that you did. So
that is so cool, Kate. I'm so glad to hear it. But I mean, you know, he's just right on the money. He's a calm, soft-spoken, amazing scientist. Used to be the head of science at the Department of Energy. Used to teach physics at Princeton University. Now he's on the National Security Council. And he says that the Earth is starving for more CO2. The plants are desperate for more CO2. Mm-hmm. CO2 concentrations have been much higher in the past. Human emissions of CO2 are insignificant, I mean, and they're certainly not causing dangerous climate change. And so that is why the climate alarmists, you know, this multi-trillion-dollar industry dependent on tax subsidies that wants to take our freedom and take our money and build up global governance, is freaking out about this. It is the opportunity of a lifetime to expose the climate hoax, and that's why they're in meltdown mode.
Okay. So as far as this goes, what William Happer being on this is quite unique, is it not? I mean, this is kind of it says a lot about what Trump really feels about this human caused global warming and it's hard to keep track. Global cooling, warming, we just don't know because the science is so exact, right? that's exactly how nonsensical this whole thing is because they can't even make up their mind on what's happening. So that means science is not exact. And so William Happer, let me play this because this is your interview. And I thought this was so great. It's 2 minutes long. Here you go. This is William Happer. And is he the head of the Climate Commission?
He's the head of, well, they haven't announced it yet, but he is going to be the head if and when they proceed with this.
So. And this is considered controversial, right? Because he's so contradictory to the human-caused element of this, that we do have climate change naturally, but not the human cause. This is William Happer. Here we go. And he's from Princeton. Here we go.
How can it be that there are
this
still
is you, Alex.
So many scientists who are running around saying that the science is settled and that we need to accept the IPCC's conclusions? I mean, do you have any thoughts? I don't know if you want to speak to the motivations of other people, but what's really driving this?
Well, most scientists don't know any more about climate than you do. You know, they work in different fields, and I would guess you know more than many of them. Scientists in general, academics in general, feel that they ought to be appreciated more by society. You know, they're smart. You know, they've got tenure. You know, why am I not rich? You know, so I think it's partly a resentment that they haven't done better. Society treats them like ordinary people when they feel like they're superior people. So I think there's a lot of frustration there that is showing. And then there's tribalism that if one area of science is being questioned, you know, climate science, even if you work in neurology or, you know, some other completely different field, you tend to rally around because you regard it as an attack on your own field. And so there's this sort of tribal reaction, too. So the motives, as you say, it's very hard to identify someone else's motives. And there are lots of scientists like me. I'm certainly not the only one who are quite skeptical about the whole thing and a little bit embarrassed for science itself.
What is it like to be a scientist and come out and say the things that you say, that, you know, the CO2 is not a pollution and we need to take a step back here? I mean, what has been the reaction of your fellow scientists? I mean, have you been treated differently since you spoke out on this issue? What has been the reaction from your colleagues?
I've been treated pretty well by most of my colleagues. You know, they still believe in academic freedom, you know, and so I have no complaints on that score. You know, of course, I get lots of death threats and hate mail and things like that from non-scientists. So I think one of the things that other scientists ought to understand is that they're in bed with a movement that is not a very good movement. You know, it's a vicious movement, and they ought to denounce it. You know, I noticed, for example, that President-elect Trump went to some trouble to denounce, you know, all of the bigots that were riding his coattails. He says, stop it, I don't approve of this. But I don't see that happening with scientists, you know, and so that troubles me, actually.
Wow, great interview. Thank you, Alex. And I love what he's saying. And so this was a good move. What's funny is that we even had to have a commission, right, to do this. I mean, it seems like we have to do the commission so that we can I would want to ignore it. That would be my first, just to be like, this is nonsense, you know, ignore it. Kind of like I ignore Alex, you know, useful dash idiot. You know, I just ignore her now. But as far as this goes, I mean, what do you think will happen with this commission? What do we look for with this?
Well, I understand from my sources, Kate, that President Trump is under enormous pressure to walk this back. Mm-hmm. And that's because the climate lobby and mm-hmm. the entire apparatus that's grown up around it depends on the perpetuation of this fraud.
Right.
For so many things, right? I mean, the global governance, for example, is dependent on this fraud now. Billions and billions of dollars in subsidies, huge amounts of grant money, careers, reputations. I mean, you know, if CNN could be discredited any more than it already is discredited, mm-hmm. the explosion, the implosion of the climate fraud would do it. And so that is why they're in a panic right now, because if we get this commission and if this commission concludes mm-hmm. what I think is very obvious, that mm-hmm. the man-made global warming hypothesis is wrong, they are going to be left in very serious trouble. There's probably a lot of criminal fraud that would be exposed. And so, you know, sources that I've talked to say that Trump is under tremendous pressure mm-hmm. to back down on this. And so he needs to be hearing from us on the phone, on mm-hmm. email. You know, please move forward. Let's have a real investigation of the science and get to the bottom of it.
Won't this be, and so the reason I was saying that about the commission is the fact that we even have to do this today, that the fact that we're even doing it at all, not that we shouldn't have the commission. In having the commission report, is it going to be like the Mueller report where you still have people believing something's in there that's not, as far as, well, that's their side. That's Trump's side. That's conservatives investigating. That's conservative talk. It isn't the real science. I mean, are we going to get that kind of nonsense?
That's exactly it. They're already preparing the ground for that. You know, they're already putting out fake articles saying that Trump is going to put science deniers on the panel so that right. they'll deny the science.
Yeah.
You know, it's very typical, but they always point back to the UN IPCC. And it's interesting because I was actually just in Sweden and I interviewed Dr. Nils Axel Mörner, who was on the IPCC. He was actually mm-hmm. their lead sea level reviewer.
Right.
And he said, wait, I told them this was all wrong. They got it all wrong. The global sea level is not rising. In fact, the Earth is going to be cooling.
Right.
And so he had to resign. And they didn't want to hear the truth.
Oh my gosh! Well, I love that, and I just think that with this, it might get batted back and forth, right? We might have to watch this tennis match of people that just truly believe and people don't. And this is where you get to the data. You get to that hard data. What's being presented in hard data? And I absolutely think it's going to fall positive on the side of hoax. And I wish I really do hope people will get out of the political party divide and just look at the data and say, does the data back where? What is backing up? Which side of the data is ringing true and which isn't? Be right back. More with Alex Newman. Great work. Be right back. We're going to be talking about a whistleblower. We're also going to be talking about guns as well. What's going on with the bills getting passed and so forth that will affect you. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. This is the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're tuning in today on a Friday. And we're always, you know, I was perusing the headlines, and of course, Biden creepiness. And we all know he's creepy, and it's been said, and it's been done. And you know, there's two other stories to Biden. His son receiving money, strong-arming Ukrainian prosecutor to not prosecute his son, and actually threatening during the last part of the Obama regime not to give them some funds if he didn't take the prosecutor off of his son for funding investigating Biden's son, and then also the money that Biden's son got from China after their visit. Those things should be investigated, but there's the distraction. There's always a distraction. So the Biden distraction is creepy guy, which is true, but it's creepy guy and not the other things going on, because they don't want any attention on funding going to this possible presidential candidate. And so in the news today, just remember those other two stories, if you will. There's so many distractions, and one of the biggest distractions of our time in the last decade has been the fact that nobody's talking about it. The news is on everything but how our kids are educated. And so there was a whistleblower that came forward. I have Alex Newman with me joining me today, and he has done a stunning just expose on this new whistleblower and what this new whistleblower has to say, and the involvement of this whistleblower in the curriculums for education. Go right ahead, Alex.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. So actually, I got an email from a friend in Texas. He's probably the foremost expert in reading, if you will, that I know, after Dr. Sam Blumenfeld died a few years ago. And he said, hey, you have to talk to this Dr. Louisa Moats. I just saw a speech she gave at a reading conference, and you need to get in touch with her right away. So I reached out to her, and she was willing to do an interview. And she was actually one of the people who was hired to serve on the committee that was writing the literacy standards for Common Core, for the foundational ones, you know, where the mm-hmm. kids are learning how to read.
Right.
And she thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of improve things, because we had a reading mm-hmm. disaster before Common Core. And so she was excited about the opportunity. Well, turns out that she warned them that what they were doing was going to be an even bigger catastrophe, and they ignored her, and they went ahead anyway. And so she says now that these reading standards that they're using in Common Core, one of the ones that I've been sounding the alarm about for years now, is how they mandate the studying of sight words in kindergarten, where they have little kids memorizing whole words instead mm-hmm. of learning to sound out the words with phonics. And she said this is the reason why we have so many millions of kids in America who can't read today. And the damage is essentially irreversible unless you know what you're doing, right? So these kids are going to be damaged for life as a result of this. And this is coming from one of the people who helped write the standards. Why is this not on the front page of the
exactly.
newspaper? Why is this not on CNN and Fox News? People ought to be asking themselves that.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, as much as we've talked about this on the air, and it's been huge story, and you've done a lot of exposing of this. I've done a lot of exposing of this because it's insane what we're actually doing in our schools, and nobody wants to pay attention to it. And a lot of people out there listening are so focused on, we're always focused on the politics, on Trump, on the administration. Da, da, da. This is the education of your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. These kids are not learning how to read. They're not learning how to write. They're not learning how to tell time. They're not learning things. And we're developing a whole system of kids that will be put in a lot of or be geared toward stupidity for their entire lives, and nobody seems to want to care. When this person came forward, how has she been received? I mean, are there people out there trying to discredit her? Because when I interviewed on climate, the Jason scientist that I interviewed on the show, he's 93 years old from Princeton. The Obama administration, who had hired him originally, it started saying he had dementia. I had him on the show, and everyone's like, he does not have dementia. And so as far as this goes, how has she been received since coming out on this?
Yeah, well, you know, I think right now she hasn't made enough of an impact to become a target. You know, mm-hmm. I think they'd rather try to ignore her first
right.
and hope she goes away and nobody notices. But if this information starts getting out and people start realizing, there's going to be, I'm sure, a full-blown effort to demonize her. It actually reminds me of, we just talked about Dr. Nils Axel Mörner, the Swedish scientist who I interviewed recently, who served on the UN IPCC. You know, the UN loved him enough to make him the lead reviewer for sea level on the IPCC. But then suddenly, when he pointed out that they were all full of it, they were lying and that the report was wrong, then the demonization started. He was a quack. He was a kook. He didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't a real scientist, you know, even though he's a PhD and runs the geophysics department at Stockholm University.
Mm-hmm.
So you always see this, Kate. I'm so glad you brought it up. When an expert comes and calls out what the establishment is doing, they get demonized. They get attacked. It's very sad. So Dr. Louisa Moats, I give her a lot of credit for being willing to speak out on this. You know, it's really a danger to your career when you start challenging the powers that be, if you will. And she's done, she's only focused on just the mechanics of reading. She's not getting into the politics or, you know, the national standards. She did criticize the Department of Education, you know, mm-hmm. wondering what in the world is doing. She said it's appalling what they're doing. But this is huge. And,
right.
you know, she's not the only one. Dr. Sandra Stotsky, the only English language arts expert on the Common Core Validation Committee, refused to sign off, said it was going to dumb down the kids, reduce critical thinking skills. and the only math expert, Dr. James Milgram from Stanford, the only math expert on the Common Core Validation Committee, refused to sign off, said these standards were terrible, confusing, some of them are based on incorrect math, and yet this is what our kids all over the country are learning from.
Oh, my gosh. How long was she involved with this? I mean, was she involved for quite a while, and how long has she been speaking out?
Yeah, she was involved from the very start with the writing of the standards. She didn't realize that it was going to turn into this atrocity, and that she also didn't realize, she explained to me, you know, that she didn't realize they were going to force this on the states. You know, she thought this was just going to be kind of like a guide for best practices that states could look at, and they ended up turning it into like this mandatory, you know, national curriculum. And so she was not expecting that. As far as I know, the first time she spoke out about this publicly was in that speech to the reading group, and the second time was in her interview with me that we just put up at Freedom Project, and we got it up at the New American at libertysentinel.org. We're hoping this information will get out, and some people have a lot of explaining to do.
I wonder what her view of Betsy is.
That's a good question. Yeah, you know, she told me very clearly she was not not happy with what the Department of Education was doing.
Well, I would imagine. And so when you're working on these things, you know what I always find kind of funny about this, and funny, pathetic, not funny, haha, is how often we have tried to reinvent the wheel on something so basic as teaching reading.
That's right. It's crazy, Kate. Yep. You know, if you go back into our history, we had a time in America, even 200 years ago, you know, way before we had government schools and wasted more than $1 trillion every year on so-called education, we had almost universal literacy. Today, you know, Washington, D.C., two-thirds of adults are functionally illiterate, according to the government's own data. In California, 50% of children can't even read at a proficient level. You have a massive national illiteracy crisis where you have tens of millions of Americans, maybe more, who cannot read their own high school diplomas. And, you know, to suggest that this was all some kind of big accident and, you know, after thousands of years of teaching reading, we just forgot how to do it is ludicrous. You know, if you believe that, I have some really nice beachfront property in Nebraska. Call me after the show.
Oh, my gosh. And here's some, I just want to point out some headlines that have been coming out for about 1 year now, okay? Maybe longer, you tell me. Education report card shows Common Core still fails U.S. students. Falling ACT scores are latest evidence of Common Core failures. The Common Core fundamental trouble. The myth of Common Core equity. Common Core's new math is the same old problem. All these articles, even the problems with Common Core, yet it's still there. We've had multiple documentation studies saying it's a dismal failure. The kids are more stupid than ever. What in the world's going on? Yet it stays. And I've talked to people in the industry of teaching, and this has been the comment that it just makes me want to hurl and cringe is, well, we have the computers now. Well, we have it in place. We might as well go a little longer just to see how it does, how it works. And I want to cringe because then they're making it about money and they're making it about computers and they're making it about all of these things that don't matter. It doesn't matter. If it's not working, kick all that to the curb and say it's not working because we shouldn't have ever instigated it in the first place. And like you said, Moats said, you know, she didn't realize it was going to she didn't realize it was going to be manipulated into all the states, right?
That's right. And she didn't realize that they were going to order the textbook publishers to align their textbooks with this, that there wasn't going to be any testing done on these standards before they were rolled out nationwide. You know, I think a lot of people who worked on this feel like they've been duped. And, you know, again, the consequences of this are catastrophic. You talked about how we all focus on politics. You know, politics is downstream of education. So what's happening in the education field today is what's going to decide, what's going to determine what happens in the political field in the coming years. And the reality is they're turning our kids into socialist, anti-Christian, leftist America haters.
Oh. And you know, I've been ringing this bell, and I know you have for so long, and people still don't want to think it. They still don't want to go there because they think, well, I can trust my local school. So you just can't. So, you know, I just trust. So here's the deal. So I listed all those headlines. What kind of headline is it going to take? What will it take for people to demand that it be taken out? Because districts could take it out. Could they not? They could say, I'm sorry, we're not doing this. I mean, how much control does a district have? in a state?
Well, it's a very, very good point, Kate. The reality is, even the polls that were done, I mean, even in the fake media, they admitted that like 2/3 of Americans oppose Common Core. Trump ran on a platform of, we're going to get rid of Common Core, it's a disaster. So even when the overwhelming majority of people want it gone, for some reason, it's still there. The reality is, any state could at any time throw this all in the garbage and start over. All they would have to do is tell the Federal Department of Education, we don't want your money, we don't want your orders. Keep your money, we'll decide things for ourselves. But unless and until a state government is willing to say, we're willing to forego, you know, and the federal government only gives probably 10% of their budget.
Yeah, 7% of my state's budget is federal. That's not a lot.
There you go.
I mean, we could lose
that
easily.
And with the mandates that they put on there, you probably consume way more than 7% of the budget just complying with the federal mandate.
Exactly.
So get the feds out of the state classroom, and the states can do as they please. And very quickly, people would see, whoa, that works better. Hey, let's do that too.
Yeah, and the states, you know, the data collection's huge, and that's part of the reason. There's states making money off that off the back end. So I just want to make that known, because my state even did that. They went and made $5 million off of selling our information to Florida right when Common Core came on board, and nobody did anything, and that person got a slap on the wrist, and it was the assistant superintendent of the state. You know, so there's nothing being done about the back end buying of data. And then also, you know, these states just continue on as if, oh, I'm sure it'll get better. I'm sure it'll get better. It won't. It hasn't. Read all the headlines. I don't know how much more information we have to kick out about it, but it isn't working, and our kids are suffering, and we're not doing anything about it. And that's why we keep ringing the alarm bell on this. And like you said, I loved your point about politics too, because we focus on sometimes the wrong thing. We focus on the right-left paradigm and the fight within that paradigm, and not this. This is affecting every single one of our families 24/7, and we don't understand the impact it's going to have on future generations too. So I'm loving that you're doing this exposing and bringing this up and trying to continue on with this alarm bell, because it really is. This is atrocious. And the fact is I could sit here, if we were saying this and all the other media was saying, oh no, it's wonderful and working. Okay. But they're all saying it's terrible. This is why I can't even believe that we're not actually physically doing something about it. So we just have to.
No, I agree, Kate. And you know, I think the first thing parents can do is, you know, vote with your feet. Get your children out of these indoctrination centers. Make sure you teach them how to read properly. Make sure you teach them real history. And that'll be incredible.
Yeah. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show today. I'm so grateful. And make sure you share the podcast far and wide. We really need to get this information out. If you go to an article, put the link there. If in the comments section, let people find the show. And we're listened to around the globe, and I love doing this. I know Alex Newman loves what he does, and we're here to expose truth and get the truth out. And we want nothing more than for more and more people to understand what's really going on and not deal with the distractions in the media, which there are so many. So let's talk about the infringements on the Second Amendment, because there have been some numerous ones that we really do need to talk about. Welcome back, Alex Newman.
Hey, thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure to be with you. And so Congress now is moving a number of crazy gun control bills through. You have one, for example, under the guise of universal background checks, so-called. What they're really doing is creating a universal gun registration scheme, where basically every time a gun changes hands, the federal government is going to have to approve it. And of course, it's going to create a record. We know from history what happens when governments start registering guns. It never, ever turns out well, even in, non-dictatorships, right? Australia registered the guns, and then what do? They went and confiscated them, right? All the semi-autos got taken away. Now they're doing the same in New Zealand. So very, very dangerous legislation. This is H.R. 8 in the House of Representatives for universal background checks, right? And I mean, this would literally mean, like, if I were to lend my neighbor my hunting rifle to go deer hunting one day, we would have to go get federal permission for that. Crazy, crazy stuff. So that's the first one, total disaster. Then we have these red flag bills moving in both houses of Congress. And actually, some rhinos have gotten behind these two, like Gramsci and Marco Rubio. And this not only infringes on your Second Amendment protected gun rights, right, your God-given right to keep and bear arms, but also your right to due process. Under the legislation now that's moving its way through Congress, they would basically, if somebody makes a phone call and says, hey, you know, I think this person is a danger to themselves or someone else, they will send a SWAT team to your house, take all your guns away before any kind of trial, before any kind of anything, and, you know, then it's up to you to prove that you're not a danger to someone. So it could be, you know, your ex-girlfriend or, you know, your neighbor that, who's mad that you didn't mow your lawn. You know, it could be anything.
It could be anybody.
It's crazy stuff.
And it bypasses all due process. And I was listening to Chuck Baldwin talk about it and played a clip yesterday from his speech because he said it's anti-American, anti-God, anti-Constitution, anti-everything. And here's the deal, too. I don't know if people are picking up on this, but the last major sweep gun control legislation was back in 94, and they were able to get this through. There were a lot of headlines in February about this, but these gun control measures are going through, and no one's talking about it for some oddball reason. You know, I mean, from 1994 to now, that we're talking major sweeping bills, infringements on the Second Amendment, which it clearly says do not infringe. And here we are not talking about it. Yeah.
Yep. It's really, really dangerous. I mean, you know, they wait for crises to exploit, and then they rush to, you know, seize the emotion and get this stuff through. But we need to recognize that, first of all, our rights are not negotiable, right? Mm-hmm. When the founders declared independence from Britain, they said very clearly it was a self-evident truth that God gave us our rights and that governments exist to protect those rights. And when governments start not only not protecting those rights, but infringing on those rights and trying to trample on those rights, it becomes very, very problematic. And so when the federal government violates the Constitution, violates the inalienable God-given rights of the people, it actually forfeits its claim to legitimacy, and it starts acting not as a government, but as an illegitimate actor that is a threat to our liberty. So this is a very serious problem. It's a bipartisan problem. And we must resist it.
Yeah. And the bump stock ban goes into effect. And the Supreme Court, you know, conspiring with Congress, violate the Second Amendment. And agents of the ATF have their marching orders. You know, a piece of plastic, a bump stock, is a machine gun, quote unquote. You know, anyone who owns it is a felon. And all this is a policy. And we're not noticing that these infringements, one after another after another, you suddenly don't have it anymore if we keep infringing at every single angle. Now, some people think bump stock's not a big deal. I understand why they say that. And I understand there might not be, you know, a tremendous amount of people with them. But what we're doing is we're setting the precedent. We're also setting the policy of an infringement. And so it doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's an infringement, and we should be, no matter how you feel about particular, specifically bump stocks, you should know that an infringement's an infringement. We should be screaming about these things.
Absolutely, Kate. And, you know, it's even worse than just a gun rights infringement. With this bump stock ban, first of all, you have the executive branch engaging in lawmaking, right? You have the ATF passing, quote unquote, regulations that are really lawmaking, right? I mean, and the Constitution reserves all legislative powers to Congress, and that means none for the ATF. You also have the fact that there's no grandfather clause. This is an ex post facto law. They're banning something. They're going back in time and banning something and then making you a felon. They are also, you know, to add insult to injury, they are seizing your property or causing you to surrender your property without just compensation. You know, that is a direct violation of the Constitution. You're not allowed to take people's stuff without paying them. And yet they're saying here, if you own this piece of plastic, you're a felon. And finally, the rationale that they used is that a bump stock would allow you to fire a semi-automatic weapon faster than you might otherwise be able to do that. Well, you know what? My belt loop can allow me to fire a semi-automatic rifle faster than I otherwise could. Are we going to declare my belt loop a machine gun?
Great
I mean,
point.
It's absolutely ludicrous, but this is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, and if you're found in possession of one of these bump stock devices, right, up to 10 years in federal prison and $250,000 fine. Now, would you consider that egregious for what actually took place? I mean, as far as, you know, violations of the Constitution, I think we have something in there that says that we're not allowed to go into penalty.
Sorry.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many violations here. And red flag laws, this is so insane that they want to do this based on mental health, right? It's either the youth or mental health. And Chuck Baldwin talked about this, and he talked about the fact that that most of your mental health providers will tell you that they aren't violent. The mental health community is not violent. You can have a person be violent, but because of their mental health, it does not make them prone to violence. And that's really the assertion is, and they did this in Nazi Germany. I mentioned this the other day. They did this in Nazi, where you separate the mentally ill. And as long as it's happening, you know, or you can stake your claim on the mentally ill, then people somehow agree that you can do anything that you want if it's for the mentally ill or if it's for a certain segment of society. I can't even believe that they can even get away with that. That they can even, because it's mentally ill, to blame this on, so a neighbor can call and say, I think my neighbor might be violent. I think my neighbor might do something. And so bypass all due process. They go to the door. They can kick it in. They can go after and go get their means of self-defense.
Yeah,
and you have to fight to get it back.
That's right. And, you know, this whole mental health issue is ripe for abuse, Kate. I mean, everybody knows in the Soviet Union, basically, if you opposed communism, they declared you mentally ill and they sent you off to a mental institution and tortured you and electrocuted you and strapped you to tables and injected you with things. This is now becoming a catch-all phrase for the government to disarm more and more people. They're using it against our veterans, right? They come back and they get a little bit of help with their checkbook, or, you know, they express some PTSD symptoms to somebody at a VA hospital, and suddenly, boom, there goes your gun rights, right? And a lot of people don't realize, too, you know, the mental health field is not exactly medicine in the traditional sense, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't do an x-ray to determine whether someone has a mental health issue. These guys literally get around a table and they vote on what they think should be considered a mental health issue and whether it should be a disease and how it should be treated. It's very different from traditional medicine. And I think there's a lot of questionable practices that go on. And yet, this is being put in big databases, and they're going to keep taking gun rights from more and more people until eventually they come for you.
Yeah, it's horrifying, and it's done by both sides of the aisle. I think that's the other thing that we really need to make sure we understand. And a lot of people want to blame only Trump. That drives me nuts, because we really should be having a very big spotlight on Congress. And so here's the deal. Yes, Trump can veto these things, and why he doesn't, well, there begs a huge question, right? On the other side of this is, why isn't the majority of the spotlight held on our Senate, on Congress, on the House, in doing these things? Now, everybody knew that when we got a Democratic Congress, a majority, that they would be able to pass things like this, right? But at the same time, do you see a lot of conservatives fighting it? Or are they making up excuses? And so, like Chris Ann Hall calls them, conservative socialists, that kind of go along with this. And they get to the mode, and this is the tactic, as they say, well, we're giving a little. For the mentally ill, okay. Bump stocks, okay, well, we'll give them that. You don't have to give them anything. That's the whole point.
That's right.
They run this whole tactic as, well, we had to compromise. You don't have to compromise on the Constitution.
Shall not be infringed. It's pretty clear, right?
Yes.
There's no wiggle room, no compromise there.
Yes.
It's like these people who are going to feed everybody else to the alligator, hoping they get eaten last. I mean, they're going to come for all of your gun rights, and surrendering inch by inch is just as ludicrous as surrendering all in one go. We need to stand up and say no on principle, no on constitutional grounds. You will not take any more of our gun rights. In fact, we want all of our gun rights back. Thank you very much.
Yes. And we spend an awful lot of time time. We spend an awful lot of time going, well, Trump let this pass. He's the Antichrist. Well, Trump did this thing for Christians. He's our savior. Those two extreme conversations are ridiculous because there's more people at play in this, and I understand that. And, you know, we have to stop kind of trying to figure out whether you can trust Trump or not. You have got to just put the spotlight on the House and the Senate and say, this is where the responsibility falls. And our states need to lead out. We need to get way more preoccupied with what our states are doing because our states can stand up against this nonsense. But it always drives me crazy when the whole focus of the conversation is always about Trump. It has to be on Congress. And we have to be able to put feet to the fire on the conservatives for being part of the manipulation tactic of saying, we'll give them something. We'll compromise and it's okay. And as long as we keep the majority of the amendment, we're fine. But people don't realize that it violates the other amendments, the Fourth Amendment. We have a slew of violations. And Trump should not be okay with this. And it angers me that it's going on. But not everything falls on Trump. Not every single thing can Trump stop or can Trump do. So I don't know how you feel about it, what your two cents are.
Oh, I agree with you entirely, Kate. I think you're right on the money. And we really should be focused on the House of Representatives. You know, that is the people's house where we're supposed to have the most influence. And actually, all bills to spend money or tax have to originate in the House. So if we could get a majority in the House, we could save America. And so actually, we at the New American have an amazing little tool. It's called the Freedom Index. So don't listen to what your congressman says when he's on the campaign trail. Look at how he votes. And what we do is we break down their voting record based on how constitutional their voting is. And then, of course, at the state level, we need to be nullifying anytime an unconstitutional act comes out of a regulatory body or Congress or the executive branch or the courts. Our states should say, no, you don't have that power. The liberals have mastered this, and they do it on unconstitutional things, right? Yeah. Immigration is a federal responsibility, and yet the liberals say, oh, well, we're going to be a sanctuary state, and you can't arrest illegal immigrants in our state. Well, why don't we make our states sanctuary states for gun rights and for unborn babies? And, that's areas where nullification really should be used.
Yes, and I see people so upset and so in a tailspin and in hysteria over the Mueller report. What a distraction.
Right.
Why not concentrate on the gun laws going through, on the Dreamer Acts, on all of these other things that affect us. The Mueller report, that's what people are on street corners protesting. I mean, how stupid. We dumb ourselves down by not looking at the real issue and looking at the fake bread and circus issue. That's right.
And that's what the media does. I mean, that's why you need to listen to the Kate Daly Show, and that's why you need
and
to
Alex
read the
Newman.
New American Magazine.
No, it's. I swear people feel fatigued because I know they do because I do too. And it's just that liner that leads into the show, tinfoil hat and wanting to bang my head against a wall. I'm past the tinfoil hat. That is the truth. I want to bang my head on a wall every day. I want to throw stuff at my TV every day. Obama's meeting with Germany's Merkel. Why? He's not president. Why is this man going over meeting with Germany? All this nonsense that doesn't get talked about. And what's talked about today? Creepy Biden. Yeah, he's creepy. So what? But there's other fish to fry. We've got serious, serious issues on the Constitution that are flying through right now. And nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention. Don't even get me started. Anyway, Alex Newman, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Can't wait to have you back again. And of course, go get a hold of Alex Newman. Go follow his work. The New American holds his work, and you can find him on Twitter. You're great. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you so much, Kate. Really appreciate it.
Love what you do. Thank you. Oh, what a freedom fighter. What a great guy. All right. Find Alex Newman. You'll do yourself a huge favor. And I'll be right back more with Joel Skousen. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.